Hello and welcome to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers.
You say that every week, you know? Same old story.
You know, you think I would get better at
Hello,
it.
Hello, welcome to NPR's Car Talk. Same old thing. Come on, change a little bit. I'm getting bored, man.
I try to be effervescent
Here's Johnny. Come on.
See, I thought you were sick. We're broadcasting this week from the convalescent wing of Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I am
because
sick.
Because Tommy says... I can't do the show. I'm sick. You'll have to do it without me. The cheers went up, actually.
And besides, whether I'm sick or not, what's the difference?
Right.
What's the difference?
It'll be lousy anyway,
it's
right?
It'll be lousy, so I don't care. It doesn't make any difference.
Right. Well,
to me.
I guess you're probably too sick to read those letters you have piled up in front of you.
I can't
you,
even
so.
Find them.
Oh. Therefore, we'll go right to the phones and we'll see if we can get something interesting.
And if
going.
I should pass out or anything during the show. You won't even notice.
I'm sure I will. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tom from Steventown, New York.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. What's
Great
up?
Great name.
I'm really glad that I got through to you guys because I am quite distraught.
Ooh. Yes?
Which is the opposite of what?
Trot,
yeah, of course. Here's the deal. I've got a 1990 Dodge Caravan that has a transmission that I'd like to see on the back of a milk carton.
Oh, you got the Ultra Drive.
No.
You don't have the Ultra Drive.
That's what's intriguing about this.
I mean, they're all bad.
When we test drove these cars, I did not like the feel nor the sound of the Ultra Drive transmission, so we opted for the 3-speed.
Yeah. Good for you.
But here's the problem. Since day one, the transmission has been leaking transmission fluid.
Mm.
We've had it to the dealer now 3 times. The last time that we had it in, it appeared as though they had finally fixed the leak. However, just this evening, my wife brought the car home, and she had stuck a piece of newspaper underneath it because she suspected there was a leak. And sure enough, there's more transmission fluid pouring out of it.
Oh.
Now, the rest of the story is that we had also discovered about, 6 months ago, and this is an 8-month-old vehicle at this point, we had discovered 2 problems. First of all, it was slipping coming from a dead stop when we began to accelerate. It would slip a little bit. And we had a pronounced shimmy at about 45 miles per hour.
Okay.
Mm.
We took that into the dealer and they said, well, your torque converter needs to be replaced. And that's what they did. So now,
and that corrected the shimmy.
It seems to have corrected that problem, yes.
Yeah.
So now my problem, or my question is this thing still going to give me problems? And if so, how can I get out of this deal? The worst part of it is that under the Massachusetts Lemon Law, where I bought the car, that I would be able to trade the thing in if they can't correct it after 3 tries, but it's a lease, so I can't get out of it.
I don't know about that. Yeah, that's true. That's one of the disadvantages, I guess, of leasing a vehicle.
That's an interesting problem, isn't it? You lease the vehicle and you don't get the protection of the Lemon Law. But
well,
the person,
might.
Someone must own it, right? Chrysler doesn't own the car anymore.
They might.
If
Did you lease it directly from Chrysler?
Yes. From
Good,
Chrysler
they can
Chrysler.
Sue themselves. That's perfect.
Never happen.
Why not?
I suppose you could just turn it back into them and tell them you care not to have the lease anymore.
But what do you think? Am I going to continue to have problems with this thing?
Yes, you probably. They're not going to fix it. They won't fix it.
Like
this is the sort of problem.
A simple thing to fix.
You would think, huh?
Well, it would be a simple thing to fix, except if there was something wrong with the design of it, but with the actual manufacturer of this particular one. Mm-hmm. I mean, out of any number of transmissions, you're bound to have a few that are no good. And I think they should accept that, and they should just give you another one.
Another transmission.
Yeah. And if they won't do that, I don't know what you should do, except I know what I would do.
I would just leave the car in front of the company that you leased it from and don't make the payments anymore.
Yeah. The thought has crossed my mind.
Well, yeah, it'll cross your mind more and more the more it leaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, here's the other option. What if you didn't know that it leaked?
Ah, this is perfect.
Then it would run out of transmission fluid and...
And then bam. It would be
See,
covered
you're being,
by...
you're being too diligent.
Don't
put that newspaper underneath it. Just drive it.
Now, as usual, my brother, by bumbling around, has hit upon the perfect solution.
And we drive it and it fails and
just
it's under warranty.
Drive it.
We have to replace it.
It fails under warranty. It fails quite traumatically. I mean, it's not going to be a little piddly leak anymore. It's going to blow up.
Yeah, but you know what the problem with that scenario is?
You don't know when it's going to happen.
And we have an 8-month-old baby and a 2.5-year-old that we cart around in this thing all the time.
Well, someone's going to have to follow you.
You want to volunteer?
No, sure, I got nothing else to do.
I think you should write some nasty letters. If you need help, my brother's very good at this.
Oh, I'm great at this.
I know you read some nasty letters.
Oh, no, he can write some beauties, too. Are you kidding me?
Just write to Tom, Rant and Rave Division, Car Talk Plaza, blah, 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 blah.
Right, and he'll author the letter for you. Then you can just sign your own name to it.
Yeah.
It'll be easy. In fact, he could just sign it Tom.
That's right. That's
and you'll be all set.
No, but I think you should write a letter to the leasing company and say, look, here are my options. I can't put up with this nonsense anymore, and I'm going to just let it leak, and it's going to explode. But then I'll be stuck somewhere, and I'm going to sue for, oh, God knows how many millions of dollars when I have to go walking down the highway with a baby on my back. And that's not going to be nice. So why don't we just trade it in now?
Good luck, Tom.
Hey, thanks, guys. Listen, one more thing while I got you on the line here. I want to compliment your technical staff.
Yes.
As a former radio announcer, you know, I used to be involved in these type of call-in shows before myself. And, you know, you would always get some bozo who had to have his radio turned up too loud and all this feedback.
Yeah.
You guys eliminate that completely.
Well, c'est la vie. 1-800.
Did he do that or did Rogers do that? Rogers, what did you do?
1-800-332-9287. Well, we did our best. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Ellen in Santa Cruz.
How you doing, Ellen?
Well, I have a 1984 Toyota Tercel, so let's say four-wheel drive station wagon. It doesn't always start, and it's not battery related. It's as if it floods itself.
No editorializing here, just the facts, ma'am.
Right. You watch Dragnet.
Don't give us this sort of pseudo diagnosis that it's not battery related, flooded.
We'll be the judges
just
of that.
Tell us when you say it doesn't start, what happens?
It will chug and chug and chug if I turn the key on. And then once it eventually starts, it sends out a white puff of smoke.
It's certainly not battery related. It sounds to me like it's flooding.
These problems that you have starting it are mostly encountered when you go to start it first thing in the morning after it's sat overnight. Is that true?
No.
Uh-oh.
All right, wait a minute. So when in the day is this most likely to happen?
It does it various times during the day. Oftentimes it does it more when I've been driving short distances and turning it off and then getting out and then getting back on and turning it on and then, you know, going somewhere else.
And so most of the time it will start fine, and then one of those times you get in to turn the key and it goes, but does it just crank or does it go pum 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 pum? Want to dance?
No, it doesn't do boom, 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 boom. I'm going to tell you what it
does,
Ellen.
Will you let her answer? Will you let the defendant answer the question? What does it do, Ellen? Stop laughing, Ellen. This is serious. Your cell's fate is resting in our hands here. What does it do when it won't start?
It does the second one.
Yeah, pa-poom, 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 pa-poom.
Yeah, and then it will start.
Yeah.
Pa-poom, 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 pa-poom.
Pa-poom, 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 pa-poom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
interesting.
And how long does it have to be resting before it goes into this? I mean, if you drive it for, I'm going to describe to you a typical hour in the life of your car.
Okay.
And then you're going to fill in the blanks.
Okay.
Okay. You got it?
Yes.
You start out driving. You start out first thing in the morning. You turn the key. Boom! Starts right up. You drive it for a half an hour to some destination, secret rendezvous, during which time it has run beautifully.
Uh-huh.
So far, so good?
Uh-huh.
Who's the secret rendezvous with?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, we'll get back to that. We'll stick with the car problem.
You turn it off. You return 5 minutes later or 10 minutes later.
That's a quickie.
You return 5 or 10 minutes later, and you turn the key. Okay? Are you with me so far?
I'm with you.
So far.
And when you turn the key, the starter motor begins to crank the engine, but it goes, it doesn't go ba-boom, ba-boom, but it balks. It doesn't turn smoothly. Is that?
It sounds sounds like it's going to start. No, so it doesn't go slowly.
Frank, you're batting zero so far.
Wait a minute.
Every proposal you have made so far, I mean, take it the hint. What you, everything that you've said so far, she has said no to. Give it up.
Never.
It is not the head gasket.
No, I'm beginning to come around to your way of thinking.
You're beginning to believe that.
You're losing any coolant, Ellen?
Oh,
you're not losing any antifreeze, are you?
Do what?
Are you losing any antifreeze?
No.
I didn't think so.
We're in a heap of trouble, Ellen.
But I'll tell you, okay,
yeah.
Somebody, a friend of mine told me this.
All right, we'll trust him.
Okay, when he looked at it, was that, and I'm not sure if this is the right term, is that he said it was hot soaking and I should change the gasoline that I was using.
No.
But that worked for a little while.
What was this again? He was in a hot tub and you should do what?
Right, he was in the heat soaking.
Have you tuned it up lately?
Yeah.
That's a totally irrelevant question.
Right, we're just stalling for time, actually. Well,
actually, though, when I did tune it up, the spark plugs were very
black
and cruddy.
Ooh.
Oh, you like this problem?
I do. I like that. I still don't.
The spark plugs were black and cruddy when you had it tuned up.
Yeah.
Now, well, I'm going to guess that perhaps your choke is not opening all the way.
Yeah. I guess if the choke weren't opening.
Uh huh.
Then at some point, you would end up flooding it. She was right. What did she say when she first called?
I think it's flooded, Ellen. I don't think it has anything to do with the battery or the starter motor.
We made the mistake of saying just the facts.
Well, here's what you need to do. I don't know why it's flooding. I suspect that the choke is not opening all the way, and that's why it's running too rich. That's why it's difficult to start when it's hot. You may have what's called a percolation problem. Maybe for whatever reason that the carburetor isn't venting properly into the charcoal canister. I'm going to guess you have 90 or 100,000 miles on this.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. So you may need to have more done to it than just a tune-up. What you need to do is take it to the mechanic that you go to.
Uh-huh.
When it,
the
when
guy
you do
she
this.
Meets in downtown Santa Cruz.
In other words, if you can make it do this.
5 minute little trice.
If you can make it do this, then you should drive it, take it to him, shut it off, and say, hey, let's try to start this, and you tell me what's wrong with it.
I tried that once.
Well, you got to try it more than once.
Well, it didn't work.
Didn't work.
It started up perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
I know. That's what always happens.
Yeah, that's why you have to try it more. But have him just check the choke after it's all warmed up, after you've driven for a half an hour.
Uh-huh.
Drive into the shop and say, just check the choke and make sure it is open all the way. That would be the first step.
That's the butterfly valve?
Yes.
That's
what you're talking about?
Yeah, they already checked that, right?
No, they didn't.
No, but she knows what it is. That's good.
Yeah.
See, that way, we'll at least have another week. So you go check that, and if it still doesn't work, you can call us next week, and we'll come up with something new and different.
I think it's flooding.
I think so, too.
But
that's what Ellen said when she called, if you remember.
Yeah, I know that. Well, it took us a while to come around to her way of thinking. Ellen, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We didn't help her at all. Hey, we've got more calls, and ready for this? The puzzler answer coming up right after this, so don't go anywhere. This message comes from NPR sponsor CarMax, offering car shoppers more ways to shop, test drive, and buy. CarMax takes the stress out of car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat, because at CarMax, you can buy your way online from the comfort of home, in person, or on the lot, or a combination of both. Plus, CarMax has you covered with a 30-day money-back guarantee up to 1,500 miles. Learn more today at CarMax.com. Stress less and shop your way at CarMax, the way it should be.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Well, it's time for the answer to last week's puzzler. You remember this puzzler?
No.
Yeah, you'll remember it because I'll ask the first part of the question, to which you can jump right in and give the answer. who was the first president of the United States?
I got this last week. I remember. George Washington.
I do remember that.
I do remember that.
But then you fell down when I asked I got to the body of the question.
Yeah. First president of the United States to
use a bulletproof car. Okay?
Mm.
And for extra credit.
Mm, extra credit.
What kind of a car was it?
Bulletproof. the extra credit's a given, then, huh?
And for extra credit,
yeah.
Who was his vice president?
Ah. Okay, I know the answer.
I could have given a hint that he...
What? I know the answer to the first part. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Very good.
Yeah?
Yeah. You look it up?
No, actually, didn't we have a puzzler recently? Who was the first president of the United States?
George Washington.
to ride in a car?
Mm-hmm.
To have a car?
Yes.
What do they call it? The presidential car?
Yes, that was Theodore Roosevelt.
His very cousin.
Yes.
Uncle.
Yes.
Nephew.
Great-grandmother, I think.
Great-grandmother. Right, and now his grandson.
So?
Cousin. Is the first one to have a bulletproof car.
Bulletproof car, right.
Bulletproof car. What kind of car was it?
It was a Lincoln.
A Lincoln?
Yeah, you thought it was a Chrysler.
Well, they make bulletproof engines.
Right, but not bulletproof cars.
Not bulletproof cars.
So, FDR had the first bulletproof car, and it was a Lincoln, and that was part one of the extra credit. Part two, who was his vice president?
Part B.
And this is three. Who was his vice president, and what kind of a car did he drive, and whose cousin was he?
I got it. I don't know.
Well, his vice president at the time.
Yeah.
He had several.
He did, yeah. But who was it then?
I believe it was John Garner.
Then I know the answer to the next part.
Right. Who was his cousin?
Jim Rockford.
James Garner, and he must have driven a Camaro, right?
He must have driven a Camaro.
Do we have a winner?
Here it is. Our winner this week is Keith Vosburg from Buckingham, Michigan. He's going to be allowed to wear the Car Talk t-shirt for a week. He might get a Save the Skeets bumper sticker. He might even get a pair of Bronco Nagurski Long Johns.
Long Johns.
Yeah.
Very
good. You need them up there in Buckingham, Michigan.
We'll have a new puzzler coming up later on, and hopefully it'll be
challenging. Better than this one.
I beg your pardon.
I am sorry.
It'll be as challenging as this one.
Good.
Okay?
Okay, fine.
Okay, if you want to talk to us, the number is 1-800-332-9287.
And what is the number if you don't want to talk to us?
617-353-6350. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Eric Chastain calling from Athens, Ohio.
Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, I have a 1980 Honda Accord with a huge ton of miles on it, and I just recently lost fifth gear while I was driving, and what I want to know is, can I continue to drive in just the other four gears, or will it someday soon just all explode?
Well, did you go back on the highway and see if you could find it? Well, I mean, where did you lose it?
Yeah, a rest area.
You
lost fifth gear. Does it just pop out of fifth, or do you go in and it's like neutral?
Let me tell you what happened. It started when I was driving across country from L.A. back to Athens here. And
is that across the whole country?
Just about.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed that way.
Yeah.
But on New Year's Day, I was driving through Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, when my transaxle burned out, and it took me about a week to get it fixed there, hanging out in that city. And when I finally got back to this town here, the first time I got onto the highway after that, the whole thing broke down again. So what was happening was I was driving along a highway in fifth gear, and sort of a real deep, rough whine started, and in about 5 minutes of this, there was a real loud ka-chunk, ka-chunk, and then a very loud rattle, and it just popped out of gear.
That was it.
And how many miles have you driven since then?
Close to 100.
Wow. Boy, that's...
Well, I'd say...
This qualifies for a tale of woe. intrigue here, but lots of woe.
I'd say the answer is yes and no. You can continue to drive in four gears because, I mean, up until just recently, cars only had like two or three gears. So what do you need four or five for?
That's true.
Right?
Well, here's what you're going to do before you do
that. Go ahead. The big butt is...
Have your mechanic drain out the transmission oil and all those big chunks of gears and everything
exactly
else is
right.
floating around in there.
Because you don't need all five gears, but the other four gears sure don't need the pieces of the fifth gear floating around in that transmission fluid.
Right.
But even if you were to do that, my guess is your miles are numbered. If you made it another 100 miles with this,
Nah, you're
right,
kidding.
Right to Guinness.
Eric, this car will go another 25,000 miles at least.
It's got 160 on it now.
No, here's what you should do.
No problem.
How much did these guys charge you to screw up your transmission?
Well, it came close to $600 for a part that came from a junkyard.
So they put a secondhand transmission in it.
That's transaxle. Right.
Transaxle.
Transaxle. Transaction, I think.
Transaction.
Now, why couldn't you do that all over again with someone with another shop that's closer to home so that you have a warranty? You had a warranty from these other guys, but they knew you weren't going to come back because they saw where you came from, and you probably divulged everything to them. Besides, you should have told them you were going to settle. Where was that?
Urbana.
Urbana.
Yeah, I just moved into town, and I'm looking for a mechanic.
Yeah. So you should have told them you were moving
in. You didn't tell them you were just passing through, did you?
Yes, he did.
Oh, Eric, that's unconscionable. never tell a mechanic you're passing through.
We always learn from our mistakes. That's an amateurish mistake.
It certainly is.
You may have your same transmission back in there. They just made you hang around for a week to make it look good.
And they really make money from the motel up the street where they tell you to stay.
So go to your local mechanic in Athens.
Okay.
Have him find another secondhand transmission. A transaxle or transaction, whatever you want. You can call it anything. And put it in, and this might last forever.
But why would you want to spend another $600? Everything's fine.
No, everything isn't fine.
Everything is fine.
It won't last a week.
It certainly will.
Eric, don't
will.
Listen to my brother. His mind has turned to mush.
I've had a high fever.
Yeah.
I've had a high fever. Well, brain cells cannot exist in these temperatures. Eric, what kind of driving do you do?
Mostly city driving now.
Mostly city.
Of course,
always
now.
Always within hailing distance of a cab.
No. Cab. There ain't cabs. He does cab. Mostly city driving because he's afraid to go out on the highway.
Well, if that's what you're doing, then just keep driving. Forget all about it. When the rest of it breaks, it'll break, and that's when you make the decision. Why make the decision when you don't have to?
Decision is that?
Well, I mean, when fourth gear goes, or when the whole thing explodes. Then you'll have to decide, do I want to spend another $500 or $600 to put in another junkyard transaxle, or do I want to junk the whole car?
Yeah.
In other words, when you get to the junkyard, they ask, are you delivering? Are you picking up? And then you'll make your choice. But until that time, I would just drive it. I mean, why waste your time thinking about it now? The answer is you don't need fifth gear.
The anxiety of the uncertainty will kill you. Are you a young man, Eric? You're a strong heart.
Eric is is an easygoing guy. Eric will not worry about this. Eric couldn't care less. If it breaks, if she dies, she dies. That's his approach, right?
Right. Is that true?
Will it be substantially more expensive later on?
No. See, that's the whole point, that it's not going to cost any more later. It'll probably cost less. Hmm. And you can't destroy anything because it's already destroyed. So
that's
true. Keep driving.
Well, I must admit that...
As usual.
Once in a while, my brother's right, so...
My impeccable logic.
Plunge onward, Eric. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, more calls and a new puzzler coming right up after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator. Hello, we're back. This is NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to answer your questions about cars and assertiveness training.
What? What's assertiveness training got to do with this? I got a letter here.
Hey, will you just shut up? Feels great.
No, I do have a letter here. This is one of the best letters. I can't give this guy's name, as you'll see in a minute. It's Dear Click and Clack, I am currently incarcerated, and I'm writing to you as a man on a mission. Every week, I'm compelled to give the man in the next cell a pack of cigarettes in exchange for the use of his radio so I can tune in your program. I won't give the station because then we'll know what prison the guy is in.
Small price to pay, indeed.
Talk about a captive audience, huh?
Don't that be my captive audience?
Since a radio costs $42.50 from the commissary, and I am unable to comparison shop. This guy has a sense of humor. I am groveling for assistance. As I am only slightly adverse to charity, I propose to offer a puzzler in exchange for the price of a radio. You know, that sounds like a fair deal.
Well, we'll see if it's any good.
Here is the puzzle. I'll read it to you, and if you think we want to use it as this week's puzzler, fine. I wonder if he's in for car theft.
I don't know.
That would be appropriate, wouldn't it? A 10-year-old girl falls in love with a 40-year-old man. Notice that he is four times her age. When she's 15 years old and he is 45 years old, notice he's three times her age now, they get married. 15 years later, she's 30 years old and he's 60 years old.
Should I be writing this down?
Notice the numbers 10 and 40.
Right, so four times the age.
Then 15 and 45, three times the age. 30 and 60,
yeah.
Twice her age.
Got it.
Right? The question, how long must they remain married until they are both the same age? This guy's getting a radio for
can
this.
Can we use that as the puzzle?
That's the puzzle of this week.
Well, we can't read his, we don't want to read his name.
No, but, we don't want to read his name, but Neil, that's a great letter.
Well, talking
hey, look in the mail because you'll find a radio any day now.
You will? I've been looking in the mail every day.
I don't get a radio.
Well, it's time for the new puzzler.
You didn't want to use that one?
Well, I don't know the answer.
Oh.
So I can't use it.
Well, he'll send us
here's,
the answer.
Here's a puzzle that we have used before.
Yeah.
And as is often the case, we've given an incorrect answer to. So in an effort, in our never-ending effort.
No, I think it's an effort to recycle. I mean, the whole world is recycling things, and we're recycling puzzlers.
No, 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 no.
The way you recycle a puzzler is you give the same question, and you change the answer.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
Well, all of our puzzlers are new, fresh. And this is new because it'll be the first time people have an opportunity to hear the right answer. Here's the puzzle.
All right.
You ready?
You're going to try a new one. All right.
You go out to start your car. It's a cold, wintry morning.
I'm going to take this assertiveness training course.
Oh, shut up. It's a cold, wintry morning. You turn the key and the thing roars to life.
It's like my car. Right.
It starts. The first sound you hear is yee. And you know from listening to our show that that is probably
unmistakable sound
of a loose, noisy belt. Okay, now
right. The classic fan belt or some other belt.
One of the belts is driven by the engine. And we have asked the question before, which belt is it and why is it making the noise? Which belt is it most likely to be? And why is it making the noise? And when we used this puzzle the last three or four times, we gave
the wrong answer?
No, we gave an answer, but an incomplete answer.
Incomplete.
Okay? So we used basically a puzzle to which we didn't know the entirety of the answer. Now we know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey himself wrote to us.
Eat your heart out, Paul.
And straightened us out on this.
Yeah.
So here it is. Which belt is it? Why is it making the noise? And why does it stop?
That's the tricky part. Why?
That's the part that has eluded us.
Why later on does the noise go away?
Right, like in July. And, you know, no, why later on in the morning? I mean,
even within a few minutes.
Seconds sometimes.
Yes.
Minutes
why?
Seem like hours. Hours go so slowly. If you think you know the answer.
Yeah. What if someone thought they knew the answer to this puzzler? What would that person do?
Anyone who cares to correspond with us in any way, shape, or form, as long as it's by the mail, can write to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, WBUR, 630 Commonwealth Ave, Boston.
Our fair city.
I was afraid you might fall down there, but you didn't. Massachusetts, 02215.
Wait, is it Plaza, as you just said?
Plaza.
Or is it Plaza?
Well, I'm trying to Midwesternize it, you know?
Plaza. I'm not sure.
Car Talk Plaza. How does that sound? Plaza, I think, is the correct pronunciation. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to write to the Division of Derision Division or the Department of Woe and Intrigue.
Woe and slash or intrigue.
It is Woe and slash or Intrigue, Car Talk Plaza, WBUR, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston, Massachusetts, 02215. 1-800-332-9287 or 617-353-6350. Hello,
you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Tom from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Tom, what a great name.
Well, thank you.
What's up?
Well, I'm the proud owner of a 1978 Chevy Impala.
Mm.
And I've got something that's sort of wrong with it. I'm not sure if it's a real problem yet or not. I wonder if you could help me out. About 6 months ago, the generator indicator light came on. And at first it just came on sporadically, but now for about the last 4 months, it's pretty much been on consistently.
Mm.
And the car seems to work fine to me, but this indicator light's on, and sometimes I worry about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered exactly what does this indicator light mean, and should I be worried about it?
Okay,
well,
I am going
for $1.89, we will send you the charging system rebuilding kit, which consists of a roll of black tape with which you will cover up that little red light.
Right, and you'll never have to worry about it again.
Oh, beautiful.
I am going to guess that you do mostly highway driving.
Well, you're right there.
Another brilliant induction. What do they call it? Induction?
No.
Isn't that like electricity?
No, it's conduction.
Inducement?
Yeah, so what's that going to do with anything?
Well, because you probably do need an alternator.
But yeah, and the reason it's been able to start every morning is
because you do mostly highway driving.
And you're charging it up in spite of itself. But you probably have a burned out diode. And that's
what's happening is instead of putting out all the amps that it should be putting out, it's only putting out, say, half. And if you really did a lot of stop-and-go driving, your battery would have been dead 2 months ago. But the fact that you drive at high speeds all the time means it's putting out the maximum that it can, even though it's only half of what it ought to be putting out.
It isn't dead because Tom just bought himself a brand-new battery this winter. Didn't you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should have.
So you should drive the car to your mechanic and tell him to check the charging system, and he will discover that you need an alternator.
But it seems to recharge the battery fine.
Well, it is. It might continue for a long time. But if you drive...
But if it were to malfunction, you wouldn't know it. For example, if you were driving along and your belt broke.
How would you know? His pants would fall down.
No, he'd be sitting.
Your pants would fall down.
Yeah, that's how. But if your alternator belt broke, that's the same belt that drives the alternator and the water pump in this car. You wouldn't know it until the thing overheated. So there is a certain element of risk. But then again, with a 78 Impala,
there's a lot of risk.
Accustomed to taking risks.
Yeah, especially if you do a lot of long distance driving. I wouldn't fool around, and it's not that expensive—a few hundred bucks.
Now, what will happen is sooner or later you'll shut this thing off, and it'll happen with no warning whatsoever. It'll have started perfectly that morning. You'll drive 100 miles away from home. You'll turn it off, and you'll go to turn it on an hour later, and you'll be greeted by the following noise.
Got it?
That's it. And you'll know that it's time to spend the money for a new alternator.
But they're gonna
fleece you when you're 100 miles from home.
Yeah. Send us $1.89. We'll send you the click and clack rebuilding kit. You put the black tape over it. Keep driving.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I do
I
too.
Do too.
See you later, Tom.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
All right, bye-bye. Well, another hour of NPR's Car Talk has
mercifully. Mercifully.
Right. No, not quickly, but mercifully come to an end. Our producer is the inestimable, Doug Berman.
And incognito and hardly ever here, Doug Berman.
Our assistant producer is the incalculable Don Jennings.
Yeah, what a man.
And the person who occasionally does most of the work around here is Stephanie Cool.
She does all the work around here.
Ken Rogers is our engineer and dean of the department.
And a brilliant engineer, we might add.
Woo-hoo! And the dean of the Department of Automusicology. He needs submissions, by the way, so if you have something automotive-related,
music.
Automotive-related, you can send it to the Department of Automusicology, Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Ave, Boston.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02215. Our technical advisor is John Bugsy Lawler.
Sweet cheeks.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Ismore. Our staff grammarian, who will be visiting my brother very soon for a private lesson, is I Am Shirley Wright. She'll be bringing her books with her. Our staff composer, of course, is Bela Kartok. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
What about Mr. Gigi, who does our hair?
I forgot. I'm sorry. See you next week. Bye-bye. NPR, National Public Radio.